This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Good morning, church. If you can't remember, Oom Gerard, just remember Uncle G. Well, I brought my lovely wife, my girlfriend of 40 years with me. Auntie Elizabeth. And the two ladies are ruling my life. You know, I have to ask if I want to watch a TV program. Because, you know, ladies, you know, they watch different stuff. So, Annie and Berlin, it is such a privilege to be with you guys again. And Annie and Berlin, you know, they are friends. You know, we've got the same purposes. We run with God and the kingdom. And, you know, just so amazed what God is doing through your lives. It's been a privilege to be your friends. And yeah, we just pray for this church, you know, that God will take this church into all the purposes that He have for this church. So yeah, it's such a privilege to be here with you and you know, just lifting up your hands. And yeah, and you know, I love to preach for people who are hungry for God. That's you. Say amen. You know, I love it, you know. People who's hungry for God, they always want to go further. And this morning, that last song, you know, it rocked my boat. You know, you worship team, and where's the lady that sang that song, man? It's like, wow. You know, it's like, you know, I've been the privilege to be the author of this book, Barefoot in His Presence. And I also did a reading plan for you version. So if you guys use YouVersion, the Bible app, you can just go and type in there, Barefoot in His Presence. It's a six-day reading plan, but I brought some books. Elizabeth will be at the back, you know, with the books. If you're a student, if you've got a student card, you can have it at a special price. She will tell you the special price. But for the rest, it's, you know, the price as it is. But as I was writing this reading plan, you know, me and my wife, you know, we had some big decisions we had to make. And God just dropped in my spirit, you know. He said, like, barefoot worship is to give your complete and unqualified yes to Him. It is to say over and over, here I am. Have your way in me. And God, that's running with His dream for your life. His dream is the best for your life. Thank you. One person believes in that. His will is the best for us. That's why Jesus prayed, you know, and He taught us to pray, let your will happen as it is in heaven, so on earth. His will is the best for you. When I put my life in His hands, the greatest adventure will happen in your life. Following Him, there is nothing better than following Him. Let's just pray together. Father God, we just thank You this morning. Thank You that You are in this place. God, when we worshiped You, I felt like I was in heaven. And Jesus, it is all about You. We pray that You will be glorified this morning. We pray that You will stir our hearts, that You will put faith in our hearts. Father God, thank You that You give us the courage to not only to step out in faith, but be willing to pay the price to be what You want us to be. And we want everything that You want to give us. Thank You for the grace. Thank You. I just sense in my spirit there's grace this morning. If you want to step forward, the pastor said, take that step. And there's grace this morning for people who want to take that step. Lord, we acknowledge you as Lord and as the head of your church. For we pray it in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children say, amen, amen. Amen. Everyone here that's ready for a challenge. Can I see anyone that's ready for a challenge that they got? Okay, your hand was up first. This is for you, brother. Will you take that to Craig, please? Give it to him. Yeah, reading that book will challenge you. That book is about the kingdom. It is about prayer and the Holy Spirit. You know, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus talked to his disciples for 40 days on the kingdom. I wish I was there, man. And then he said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, don't go away because I will pour out my Spirit and you will receive power when my Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses. I saw on Facebook what you did this week with Nastasia. Power to be witnesses. You know, and then when Jesus went back to heaven, they all went to the upper room and those guys prayed. So kingdom, Holy Spirit, and prayer is how God established his will and his purposes here on earth. So this morning, I'm talking to you when you're running out of options. I just sense in my spirit, God wants to restore hope in our lives. It's people that has run out of options. It's like, you know, I don't have many options left. And God says that is a lie. God never run out of options. How bad your situation may be, how dire your circumstances may be, how dark your prospects may be, God always have the last move. He's got the final word in everything. In Acts chapter 12, Peter was thrown into prison, you know, and there was a price on his head. So Herod, you know, killed James, and he saw that the Jews, you know, they were celebrating about this. And then, you know, he took Peter and thrown him into jail. Herod wanted to kill him, you know, political motives. And Herod was making sure that there would be no prison break. Anyone watch that series? You know, because the apostles, you know, they had a reputation that prison walls couldn't keep them on the inside. So many times in the book of Acts, they were thrown into prison. The next moment, they were in the temple preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So the first thing that we gotta look is when things go from bad to worse. Usually that's the way it happened. You know, miracles only happen if you need them desperately. Are we still on the same page here? You know, we want miracles, but you know, we're still okay. No. Miracles happen when you need them desperately. Verse 4 of Acts 12 says, and when he had arrested him, that's Herod, arrested Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. So 16 soldiers, not prison staff, soldiers, you know, were guarding Peter. Verse 6, the night before Peter was to be placed on trial, the end of the long weekend. You know that feeling? Getting back to reality. then stress hits you, you know. I've let loose for this long weekend, but now we need to get back into reality. Peter was asleep. Okay, we'll talk about that later, because I can't believe this man was asleep. But he was fastened with two chains between two soldiers, and others stood guard at the prison gate. Peter was double chained to two soldiers, and the others, you know, were guarding him. And guys, what was the church doing? The church reverted to which they had a strong reputation for in the book of Acts. They prayed. They knew how to pray. And that's the second thing. Desperate times call for desperate prayers. Verse 5 of Acts 12 says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. You know what? As long as the church can pray, we are not out of options. Because God has the last word in everything. What God says, go. In heaven, God's word has absolute authority. In Genesis 1, when God spoke to the darkness and he said, let there be light, darkness had to give light. We never out of options with God. So the church came together. And there is such a power when the church came together to pray, because there is a power in corporate prayer. There's power in numbers. There's power when people come together and pray in unity. You know what? In the mornings, you know, when I get up, my genes is that I get up early. My wife's genes is that she doesn't get up so early. So I make myself a cup of coffee, I make her a cup of tea and the rusk, and then I go, you know, I said, hey, you know, love you, here's your, you know, your tea, and then I go jump in bed with her, and then I start to pray because I know she will pick up with me. You know, there's such power when two people pray together in unity, lifting up the name of Jesus. I think that's the most intimate that a wife and the husband can get, is praying together in unity for God to let his kingdom come. That word, constant prayers, it also, the other translation says it was earnest prayers, it was intense prayers. The Greek says to stretch tightly in prayer. So they were praying for this leader. You know, Peter thrown into prison with the purpose of killing him. And this church was praying. And do I need to remind you that at this very moment, Jesus is praying for you? Scripture tells us in Hebrews 7:25, therefore, he is also able to save completely. To the uttermost, those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus is praying for his church. Jesus is praying for his children. Jesus is praying for you at this moment. He prays for his church. So guys, not only is he able to save completely, it is his life to intercede for you. About his church, Jesus said, and let's jump to Isaiah 56. He says, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. And I wrote on the YouVersion app, I wrote a topic on how to pray with joy. Is it possible? Yes. It is possible. I remember I was a Christian, I was in ministry, you know, and then this leader said, you know, when you take time with God, you know, when you separate time and you're there for Him, he says, learn to enjoy Him. And it was like, I never thought of that one. You know, because so many stuff that I did, you know, I knew I had to do it. He says, enjoy Him. Learn to enjoy Him. And let me tell you, this scripture is what this scripture is saying. Make them joyful in my house of prayer. And then he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. So this, his church is a house of prayer for all nations. This is the place where we pray for the salvation of nations. God has a heart for the nations. The God that we worship has a heart for nations. He wants nations to be saved. He wants nations to be discipled. You know, and I remember any very vaguely, you know, I think last time when I was here, I said something about this church being like an Antioch church. You know, a church releasing people to the nations. And guys, okay, we come to the Antioch church. The church belongs to Jesus exclusively and absolutely. It is His church. He said to Peter, I will build my church. It is Jesus' church. And if the church belong to Jesus, then the same Spirit will work in the church which worked in Jesus. And we had that experience this morning. The same Spirit will make the church to look like Jesus, to act like Jesus. I believe the church will smell like Jesus. People will experience something of Jesus. I remember I was a student. I love all the young people, the students, man. Best time of your life. And I was following Jesus, and I had Christian friends, you know, and they introduced me to the writings of a Dr. Andrew Murray. Ever heard of Dr. Andrew Murray? He lived there in Wellington, you know, and there was a great revival in the time of Dr. Andrew Murray. You know, and I was studying, you know, in a traditional church. And I went to that church bookshop, and I bought myself a book on the Holy Spirit because I wanted to learn more about the Holy Spirit. And the book's name was The Spirit of Christ. You know, the Holy Spirit isn't different from who Jesus is. And Jesus said, Thomas, you want to see the Father? If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. The three are one. Are you still with me? The three are one. And the Spirit of Christ, you know, He lives and He works so that we will look like Jesus. The Holy Spirit is working in His church. And while he's working, His church will reveal the same Spirit that was on Jesus. Now, guys, this is not only true of prayer. God wants His church to go to the nations. He wants His church to be apostolic. And He wants His church to be prophetic. You know, what is God saying? What is God doing? What is now on God's agenda? Jesus You know, he prayed. And I believe that his disciples will be people that pray. Now, fast forward. We are now in Acts chapter 12. Fast forward to Acts chapter 13. It talks about these guys coming together, the leaders coming together in the church of Antioch. Oh, man. I wish I had time to explain, you know, the difference between the church in Jerusalem and the church in Antioch. The church in Jerusalem waited until there was persecution before they went out to witness to the world. But these guys here in Antioch, they were different. They didn't wait, you know, for the persecution to come. Acts chapter 13. And I remember reading that book of Dr. Andrew Murray on the Spirit of Christ. You know, this verses in Acts chapter 13, you know, hit me in my heart. And I said to myself, this is what church is supposed to be. It says, now the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. You know what? The gifts of the Spirit was working, the fivefold ministry. And they were Barnabas and Simeon and Lucius, and also Saul. Verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, they were ministering to God. You know, a problem is so many times when we pray to get answers from God. Hello? Are you guys still here? Before Jesus taught his disciples the prayer in Matthew chapter 6, you know, which we know, you know, as the Our Father. This is such a kingdom prayer, you know, because he said, Our Father who are in heaven. But anyway, we're not going to talk about that. But before he taught them how to pray kingdom-wise, you know, he said to his disciples, guys, when you pray, don't pray like the Pharisees. And then he says, when you pray, don't pray like the heathen. And guys, sometimes our prayers are like the heathen. You know what the heathen are praying? They're praying their needs. God, I need this, and God, please do that for me. And, you know, and God, do that, and God, please that, and, you know. Jesus said, don't pray like the heathen because you have a father. Hello? You have a father. He says, you have a father. We have a father. The church have a father in heaven. And Jesus says, and your father knows exactly what you need. Are you still with me? He knows exactly what you don't need to pray your needs. Either you can start and say, Father, thank you that you are in heaven. It's like when Jesus started to, you know, to teach them how to pray, he's raising the bar to heaven. You know, not here on earth, looking around, you know, what can we pray for? And please, you know, make about 60% of your prayers for other people. Are you still with me? Hello? But he says, hallowed be your name. May your name be glorified. May your name be lifted up, God. Because this leaders, they ministered unto the Lord. Like the praise and worship this morning. We lifted up his name. We glorified him. And it's about him. This, you know, He's the lily of the valley. We are lifting him up. And that's to go next level in our prayers. Not here, but raising the bar to heaven. Our Father who are in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know, let your kingdom come, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Nothing to do with Albany and the little girl on the Albany. advertisement campaign. We'll talk about that later. And then he talks about forgiveness, which in the kingdom is great. It's massive. Because God is a forgiving God. Hello? You want to experience heaven? Forgive. Set people free. Those who have wronged you, set them free. Forgive them. And then he says, you know, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Keep us away from evil. One day I heard this pastor. He said, Lord, your word says, let us not into temptation. But Lord, if you want, I'm more than willing. That's just a joke, guy. A bad joke. Oh, we South Africans, we love to eat. Okay. So they ministered. They ministered to the Lord. You know, they fasted. It was about Jesus. They were glorifying Jesus. They were lifting up Jesus. They were praying, saying, Jesus, be exalted. And the Holy Spirit said, now. Okay, that is a prophetic expression. You will find it a few places in the Bible. In John 4, Jesus says, now, those who worship him will worship him in spirit and truth. So the Holy Spirit says, now, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. You know, Paul and Barnabas, they were leaders in this church. And the Holy Spirit said, set apart these leaders. I've got a purpose for them. Then, having fasted and prayed and lay hands on them, they sent them away. And so being sent out by the Holy Spirit. You know what? When we minister unto God, I believe His Spirit will speak to us. About the plan, about the purposes, about the will of God. Are you still with me? You know, God, can I say it again? He knows exactly what you need. He's got your bases covered. He's got your back. Ons worry te veel. We worry too much. We've got a Father in heaven. He knows what we need. And he says, if you trust me, I will take you through. And that's how God revealed himself unto Moses. He says, I am that I am. Moses, I will be everything on this journey for you to do my will, to do my purpose, to obey, to go on this journey. I will be everything on that journey. So God has our bases covered. So, getting back to the story of Peter. Peter was double chained between two soldiers. The soldiers were at the prison door, but the church were praying. And what did the church pray? The third point is prayers that will move God. I believe what the church did was spiritual warfare. And let me give you just 3 points on spiritual warfare. Are you ready for those? Spiritual warfare is about declaring the lordship of Jesus in and over every arena in which we find ourselves. You know, it's declaring his lordship. Because the Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. He is the highest authority. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. So spiritual warfare starts with declaring his lordship. Every area and every kingdom is ultimately going to be brought in subjection to his sovereign will. So let's start with declaring his lordship. God, here's a problem. I declare your lordship over this problem. Are you with me? You know, Charity Girl, she's got that song, Speak Jesus. You know, speak Jesus. Declare His Lordship, that He is the highest authority. The second pointer is that spiritual warfare changes the spiritual atmosphere. I remember me and my wife, you know, we brought our boys, two boys. Elizabeth was add on later on to keep us young. You know, and I remember so good, you know, we were, you know, worried about this boy of us. And we knew we had to do spiritual warfare. You know, and we prayed. You know, we prayed the Lordship of Jesus over him. We speak prophetic words that God gave us, you know, into the situation, into the atmosphere. And I remember, you know, what happened is that the spiritual atmosphere changed very, very quickly and very radically. Speak His name. Speak His word. Light replaces darkness. Are you still with me? We don't fight darkness with darkness. Light replaces darkness. Truth dethrones lies. Life overcomes death. And love overcomes hate, selfishness, and division. The change is real and evident when spiritual warfare is exercised. And then the third one, just the third pointer on spiritual warfare, it is breaking strongholds. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, you guys can make a study out of it. But you know what? The major thing about breaking strongholds, it's a mindset that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. It is pride. Okay. And when we break strongholds, we take it captive to the obedience of Christ. Are you still with me? Father God, we say that in the name of Jesus, this thing will bow its name, you know, its knee before the Lordship of Jesus and will be obedient to Jesus. Are you still with me? Okay. That's just three pointers. Ultimately, spiritual warfare is waged in order that the kingdom of God and the lordship of Christ may come into an individual or situation. It's about His lordship. It is about who He is. For that reason, in spiritual warfare, we should focus more on Jesus than on the enemy. If you want salvation, focus on Jesus as your Savior. If you want healing, focus on Jesus as your healer. If you want deliverance, focus on Jesus as the deliverer. That's who He is. He is our Savior. And every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Number 4 says, angels are released when kingdom prayers are prayed. Oh, guys, I wish I could talk to you about everything here. But God was moving. Peter was in, you know, prison. And God sent an angel to took Peter out of prison. It's like, you know, there was angelic reinforcement. There was like divine intervention in what was happening here. You know, God moves when we honor His name, when we pray kingdom prayers, when we prophetically declare His will over any given situation. You know, the angels was released here in Acts chapter 12. And I can give you so many examples. I think the most known example is when the king told Daniel, you know, you may not pray. And Daniel went to his house and he prayed. You know, and he landed in the lion's den. And God sent angels. And Daniel and the angels, you know, I think, you know, they had a time of praise and worship, an evening of praise and worship with the lions looking at them. And when the king came there the next morning, oh man, go and read. You know, I believe the king had you know, he met God as he was praying for Daniel, you know, for his life. And he came there the next morning and he believed that there's only one God. So God sent out angels. Okay, let's quickly go to verses 7 to 11. It says, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him. And the light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So you can read the other scriptures, but you know, the angel led Peter out of prison. And he was walking, you know, it was like this was in a dream. You know, and when reality sets in, he know that God saved him. Trusting him. And I wanna finish off this morning. Prayer meetings are good training ground to go to the nations. You know, God has a heart for the nations. And going is an attitude to go to your neighbor, to go to somebody that God has laid on our hearts. You know, to live by faith, it's a little bit more difficult than to live in comfort. You know, when God speaks to you, you usually need to stand up. You need to rise. You need to do something. Are you still with me? You know, living in comfort is, you know, just looking at the box and, you know, who do they play against? The Wallabies, you know. But when God speaks to you, you need to put action. You need to put action to your faith. You're still with me. So going is an attitude. So we read verse 12. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. So God took Peter out of prison, took him to the house of Mary, where the church was praying. You know what? And it says she had a son, and the son was there. His name was called John Mark. At the end of chapter 12, we read that Mark was going with Paul and Barnabas to Antioch. And I believe they met in the prayer meeting. You know, I believe that as they were praying, you know, Paul said to Barnabas, hey, there's something in this young man's spirit. We must take him with us, you know. Because guys, when you pray, you know, it's like you're revealing what's in your spirit. Is your spirit strong or is your spirit weak? Are you still with me? I remember in our first church, there was a lady. She was a prayer warrior. And I remember in the mornings that before we, you know, before service, we were praying together. You know, and then I would stand close to her because her spirit was so strong. You know, she strengthened my spirit just to stand next to her and just to experience her trust in God. I remember as I was trained in ministry, this one guy, you know, he was more like a spiritual father to me. He said, build your spirit every day. Meet with him every day. Get into the word every day. God, what are you saying to me? What do you want me to do? Hello? Because faith and works go together. Okay, we're not talking about James this morning, but that, you know, that's so important. So they took James, what was his name? They took John Mark with them. Say, come on, John Mark, God has a plan for you. And in Acts chapter 13, you know, the Holy Spirit said to Paul and Barnabas, you must go. Verse 5 says, there in the town of Salamis, they, Barnabas and Saul, went to the Jewish synagogue and preached the word of God. John Mark went with them as their assistant. And I believe, you know, I believe that this morning, there's people sitting that, you know, God wants to use you. God wants to use you in the nations. And I just want to encourage you this morning. Build your spirit. Be ready for when the time comes. Because God wants to use you. Let's pray together.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.